Locked On Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to today's episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and thank you for making Locked On Canucks your first listen of the day. My name is Nick Bondi. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick Bondi. I'm joined, as always, by my brilliant co-host, Lachlan Irvin. You can find his writing now on Canucks Army. Lachlan, big game tonight. Big game with a lot of things riding on this game. Only you know, the fifth game of the season, but it's still a lot of expectations on this team, and it's a big game tonight.
It sure is. There's a clear must-win situation already for the Canucks, and they're going up against a team that is very much in the same boat in Chicago. The way I put it right now is it's the underachievers in the Canucks right now versus the just disaster zone that is the Chicago Blackhawks at the moment.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. So tonight the Vancouver Canucks are going to be playing the Chicago Blackhawks in Chicago, traditionally a very tough place for the Vancouver Canucks, the Madhouse on Madison, as they like to call it. And we mentioned it just now. We'll talk about obviously that game. Vasily Podkolzin may not be in the lineup tonight, and Quinn Hughes still a game time decision for tonight's game against Chicago. But yeah, tonight's game against Chicago, 5 p.m. Local time here in Vancouver. Traditionally, once again, a very tough place for the Vancouver Canucks to get points or get a result over the years, especially in the Kane and Taves era. Both those guys are going to be in the lineup. Kevin Lankinen going to be starting tonight for the Chicago Blackhawks. No Marc-Andre Fleury. Hasn't really had that great of a start to the season, so I can see the rationale shaking it up. Losing isn't an option tonight, Lachlan, right? Like, the Canucks need to get something out of this game.
Yep, they need 2 points. I don't even look at the case. I think in this particular game where it's like, even if you get 1 point out of it, I feel like that's not good enough. You gotta win in regulation. You gotta take points. This is a team that, again, like you talked earlier about the Madhouse on Madison. They're mad for a different reason right now. They got booed off their home ice in their very first game at home this year. The other day against the Islanders. They have been a complete mess at both ends of the ice. The Hawks are simply in a case where they look all around bad. They spent a lot of money to bring in these big names that were supposed to make them like a playoff team again. And they have completely they've never looked worse. And it's kind of if you're Vancouver, you got to be looking at this in a case of like, okay, we have to be able to at least beat a team that's in this kind of turmoil, right? Like, you should be at least able to get this done against this group. You have a much better team on paper.
Yeah, and the Chicago Blackhawks have been getting off to terrible starts this season so far early on. I think I saw somewhere 14 goals in the first periods or something like that. Like, they've been getting off to terrible starts. And I think for the Canucks, it's the perfect opportunity to, like you mentioned, you know, get 2 points and beat a team, kick them while they're down. And that's how the NHL works, right? No mercy. You got to win these games against teams that are just absolutely floundering. And there's a few things I think the Canucks can focus on or need to focus on. I think first off, it is the special teams. Can they get the power play under the control? Can they get the penalty kill to neutralize the opponent's power play? Because, I mean, for the power play, the zone entries have looked terrible. You mentioned it when we were recapping the Buffalo Sabres game. That was one thing that stood out to me. So and so far this season is the Vancouver Canucks they don't have a good zone entry style for the power play, and it's really hurting them. And the penalty kill is making every single power play they face look like the prime, like early 2000s Detroit Red Wings. Like, they're just snapping it around, and that's a big issue. It is the special teams, and we need to see those two units, the power play and the penalty kill, step up tonight.
Absolutely. You know, you want to see them, you know, as much as this Canucks organization loves the drop pass, maybe you gotta...
Yeah, enough of the drop pass. Enough of the drop pass.
It's fine every once in a while, yeah, but you gotta find a different way in sometimes if it's not working. You gotta just dump the puck in, go for the hard crash the boards, try and win the puck battle that way. And there are other ways to do it as well. Obviously, you can carry it straight in. But yeah, the Canucks need to find a way to get their power play rolling. Right now, it's a group that looks very much like they're in their own heads about trying to get too hard to make the perfect make perfect opportunities happen, rather than trying to work the puck more, cycle the puck around a little bit more, and trying to get a shot in close rather than the initial shot coming from around the arc, basically. And you want to see them take it to younger goalie, and Kevin Lankinen hasn't had a lot of experience. You want to force pucks. You want to take as many shots as possible, get the goaltender feeling uncomfortable. And that's going to be with a lot of shots. And your power play has got to be able to, your power play has got to be able to do more than just get one or two shots in an man advantage. You got to be able to capitalize a little bit more on those. It's just about seeing them try a couple different things if things don't work out. And same thing for the PK. You need them to be a little bit more fluid in how they move around and how they try to disrupt passes. It feels at times like it's very much a just sit still and hope for the best kind of situation, and hope your goaltender shuts
static.
Down.
The power play has been too static. We talked about the zone entries. It's hard getting in the zone. But once they do get in the zone, it's way too static.
Yeah. And that goes for both special teams units. Although power play two looked okay in the last game, so maybe they'll continue kind of rolling with that group. But I want to see a little bit more fluid motion between the players, and actually trying to make it more of a guessing game for the Hawks defense tonight. And again, this is a defense that you shouldn't have too hard a time trying to match up against. You should be able to do this pretty easily. So, you can't be making their top six look like a bunch of Nicklas Lidströms out there.
Yeah, the Blackhawks defense so far this season has been just as porous as the Canucks defense, maybe even more, right? Like, that's a weakness that the Canucks could potentially exploit in that game with the forward depth that they have. That's one way to try and get a win out of this game.
Yep. Seth Jones was their big defensive acquisition this year, and a lot of statistics show he is not very good in his own end. He's a defenseman that is touted for his defensive ability, but is not actually all that good at it. He's much more of a scorer. You look down that lineup, they have some pieces there, but there's not really anything there where you look at and you're like, oh, this is a world beating defense. The Canucks should be able to handle them. Obviously without Quinn Hughes in the lineup, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, later in the show. That throws a wrench into things as well. But again, you really need to see the Canucks defense step up in turn to try and mitigate the damage that having Hughes out of the lineup cost, last game against Buffalo, it was not there. And now you need a bigger game from them. You got to be more on high alert than ever before with this blue line.
Yeah. And we need to see more from the Canucks big guns. Mentioned the stat on yesterday's episode that Patterson, JT Miller and Connor Garland, stat from Jeff Patterson, didn't get a single shot attempt through the first 40 minutes of that game. Like, that's unacceptable. If the Canucks are going to, we know the success for the Vancouver Canucks, how it's going to come. It's through the big guns, the JT Millers, the Elias Pettersons, the Brock Bessers, the Bo Horvats, winning their matchups and getting results. And we didn't see it last night in the Buffalo game. It was not a good game for someone like Elias Pettersson. He was not very noticeable at all that game. But this is, Elias Pettersson, one of the best young players in the game. I'm expecting a big bounce back performance tonight. And if we don't see a big bounce back performance tonight, not just from him, from the Canucks in general, man, that puts a lot of pressure on this group heading to this game against the Kraken in Seattle, Seattle's first home game. That will be as tough of a situation as it's going to get, with all the pressure, not only on the Canucks. And this is hypothetical. They have not played the game yet, but
they haven't lost in Chicago yet. No,
they haven't lost in Chicago yet, but this is a critical kind of swing point for the season. I could see a situation where they lose tonight. They lose in Seattle, because if you lose tonight against Chicago, that puts a lot of pressure on you to get a result in Seattle, in a very tough place. The first home game for the Kraken, the fans are going to be pumped. The players are going to be pumped. That's going to be a tough place to get a result. But also, Lachlan, they win tonight, they win in Seattle, they get 4 points. And the mood is totally different around this team heading into that home opener, right? Like, this is a critical two-game stretch for this team.
Yeah, there is a path to thing. There's a path to getting back on the right track very quickly. And that has to start with this game. Like, even if, you know, even if, let's say, if they, let's say they win, let's say they win the game against Seattle on Saturday. But even if they, but if they lose today against Chicago, are we calling that a success of a road trip? I would say probably not. Like, even with one out of those two, I would say you got to win both.
You win both these games. The mood is totally different that home opener against the Minnesota Wild, right?
Yeah, instead of getting the potential just hyped crowd for hockey back, you could potentially be seeing a Rogers Arena crowd that's already on edge about the results and is already a little bit concerned about where things are going, and that gets worse, and that could only get worse as the season goes on. So you want to try and find your way back into getting the next 4 points possible. Part of that also includes, you know, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, more tomorrow, not writing off the game against Seattle as an immediate, oh, we're going to lose, it's their first game, home game, whatever, they're going to be more into it. Like, yeah, that it comes down to not writing that game off, and also not taking the Blackhawks lightly based on the fact that they've been so poor over the first four games.
Yeah, we saw the trouble the Canucks got into when it looked like they took the Buffalo Sabres lightly, right? Like, we can't see another performance like that again where they play down to their opponent.
Yeah, no, because that's how you end up with a season like last year, where the losses that you shouldn't be, like, where you lose games you shouldn't, and it's all, very suddenly it piles up and the morale just sinks. You gotta win the games you should. The best teams always do. So that's what it takes to win in the playoffs as well, is being able to, you know, not just win against the teams you're supposed to, but being able to beat the teams you're better than, that are better than you. So it's a mixture of finding that good balance. And right now, that involves beating Chicago.
Yeah, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to get a win tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. I was surprised, Lachlan, that the Chicago Blackhawks are as big of a favorite according to the sports books as they are, considering the start to their season. They're pretty heavy favorites tonight, all things considered. And if you want to bet on the game, check out our friends at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball, football, and hockey season action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, where the game starts. Okay, Lachlan, some news from Canucks practice today. Vasily Podkolzin could be a healthy scratch tonight, early into his NHL career. He was working with Quinn Hughes, who obviously is apparently injured. He didn't appear in last game against Buffalo, and Luke Shen. And that usually means, you know, those guys are the healthy scratches, the guys who are working out with the trainers kind of after practice and the skills coaches. Vasily Podkolzin so far this season, he obviously scored the goal against the Flyers, so he's shown his offensive ability. I think he's still, like, very, very good as a defensive player. If you want to use him to kind of lock down a game or use him in a defensive role, he's shown already that he can be a good defensive player in the NHL. The only reason I can think of why you would scratch someone like Vasily Podkolzin is you want to bring someone like Alex Chase on back into the lineup to help with the power play and play him at 5-on-5 with maybe one of the bigger lines. Or just, I think in general, if I'm Travis Green, if I'm going to read Travis Green's mind, I think it's because they want Alex Chase on back on that first power play unit.
That could be it. That very well could be it. Obviously the power play really struggled in the last game here, and and without Chase on the ice, that there definitely does open that up, that possibility. My big thing is that, frankly, I think Podkolzin has been one of their better forwards during this stretch, like in terms of not just, he's maybe not necessarily putting up an insane number of points, but I think he's been very, like you mentioned, very rock solid as a defensive forward. So he can kind, and and he does have the scoring touch, right? So we know that exists. So I think it's weird that instead of trying to kill two birds with one stone, essentially, you know, throwing Podkolzin into a bit of a bigger role, giving him a couple more responsibilities on that third line, and then also giving him some extra power play time, that they're going to try and risk the idea of him not playing at all and bringing in Alex Chiasson, who you don't want playing defensive minutes at any point, just to fix the power play. And if that is the thinking that Travis Green is going with, I have a lot of questions about that, because I just don't see how scratching Vasily Podkolzin makes you a better team. I don't feel like it makes you any better than by replacing him with Alex Chiasson.
Yeah, and this is the also what happens when you lose a couple of games against Detroit and Buffalo that you should have won. The screws tighten everywhere, and all these decisions are magnified even more. Like, think about it, if they win both games in Detroit and Buffalo, are we having this conversation right now? They had 4 points, and are we having this conversation about Podkolzin getting scratched? I remember seeing this on Twitter, Lachlan, this morning, Podkolzin potentially getting scratched. And I remember thinking, like, yeah, Canucks fans are going to take this very calmly and very rationally, because that's what we do, right? I'm sure no one's going to freak out about this. I think for Podkolzin, look, we've been spoiled in Vancouver with the amount of great rookies we've had over the past number of seasons, right? Like Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, even someone like Nils Höglander. They didn't really take that much time to get adjusted to the NHL game. And this is a normal process for rookies, right? You get time that you're going to get a healthy scratch. It's going to take time for someone like Podkolzin, who played on international ice in Russia. He was kind of screwed around with his development, played here, played there. I think this is a normal thing for Vasily Podkolzin to get accustomed to the NHL game for a lot of rookies as well. So I would like to see him in the lineup. I think the reason is they want to put Chiasson back on the power play, because he did have a good game on the power play against the Flyers.
Yeah, he looked okay for sure. It's just, you know, like the weirdest thing about it, like you mentioned, we're spoiled by how many forwards, how many how many big name prospects come in and immediately pay off dividends. But Colson's case, I feel like he was right there, just maybe not in the point totals necessarily. I honestly thought he was doing really well. I thought he was getting better and better with every single game in terms of like what he was able to accomplish while he was out there. And I very adamantly felt that like he was getting to the point where it's like, okay, I feel like they should, like, they're going to be comfortable pretty soon giving him more responsibilities in terms of carrying the workload for the team. Maybe not to like say regular top six power play one type stuff, but you know, just getting a little bit more and more, slowly building up that ice time and that number. And it was actually going up game to game, that number. I checked this morning, his last game he against Buffalo, he had 12 minutes on the ice. The game before, it was 9, so he was getting, and every game it was an improvement, so it looked like he was getting closer and closer. So it's just kind of, it's for me, it's about the idea of just how he's looked like one of their more solid guys so far this year. And I haven't seen like a, and again, like we mentioned before, Travis Green sometimes likes to pull out the benching a little quickly with a rookie, usually based on a mistake of some kind. There hasn't been a point in these first four games where I've looked at Vasily Podkolzin and been like, oh, this guy is completely out of his depth, or he looks like, or that was a huge mistake he just made. He's looked very, very solid. So I just find the decision to scratch him, unless there's an injury we don't know about, very, very interesting.
I think Luke Shen being one of the healthy scratches is obviously good. He didn't have a good game, but this means Brad Hunt is likely playing again, which we talked about it on last episode. I don't want to see Brad Hunt again in the Canucks uniform. He had a terrible game, and maybe he bounces back, but that first impression just soured me so much on Brad Hunt. I don't want to see him in a Canucks uniform.
I'm going to be interested to see how he will do tonight with Kyle Burrows, because that also means Kyle Burrows draws back into the lineup tonight.
Perfect.
With potentially no Hughes and no Shen today. And Burrows, again, I think was also pretty good through his first couple games. So I'm going to be interested to see how they do. I think Hunt and Burrows could be an interesting pair. Like, they could be a decent pair. I think maybe putting the two, you know, older defense, veteran defensemen in Hunt and Shen together on a unit was probably a little bit of a living on a prayer type situation. I think you're going to look a little bit better today by having one of the younger guys in Burrows playing with a veteran in Hunt. I think they'll pair a little bit better together.
Yeah, let's hope so, because Brad Hunt did not inspire that much confidence his first Canucks game in Buffalo. Just to wrap this up quickly, the only reason I can think of the Silly Pod Coles game stretch is they want Alex Chase on back on the power play because they think he is the straw that stirs the drink on the power play. And maybe they're right. You mentioned he had a good game on the power play against the Flyers, not so much against Detroit. But that's the only reason I can think of someone like Vasily Podkolzin getting scratched. And we mentioned Quinn Hughes. We're going to talk about Quinn Hughes still being a game time decision in just a quick moment. But first, a word from our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local auto chain parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money while using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving you do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Okay, Lachlan. Quinn Hughes, still a game time decision at the time of recording against the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. Obviously, that game against Buffalo, I think we saw how much this team relies on Quinn Hughes, how much this team needs Quinn Hughes, because the defense was pretty big of a mess when he without him in the lineup. It was tough to watch at points. So I'm just gonna pose this question to you, Lachlan. To quote The Simpsons, is it time to panic and crack each other's brains open and feast on the goo inside? Or is it we need to remain calm on this?
Yes, I would, Kent. No, I love that. That's a great scene from that show, by the way. I think right now, again, I am going to be interested to see how they do tonight against Chicago. Look, Chicago is better than Buffalo, arguably, like in terms of just on paper. Like maybe not right now, considering I should not be disparaging the undefeated Buffalo Sabres right now.
Yeah, they're a wagon.
Especially comparing them to the winless Blackhawks. I think that it's another good test for the blue line. Like, was that a one-off? Like, was the Buffalo game a one-off? Can they come back with a much better performance today and be able to give Thatcher Demko the help he needs tonight? I think after this game, if you see kind of a similar result, I am much, much more concerned, but I'm willing to give like the one game kind of break a doubt here kind of thing and be like, this could just be very much the outlier rather than the norm. Especially considering, again, we talked about on a previous show this week that through the first three games, they looked really good. They overall actually looked pretty okay. So I would be interested to see how they do tonight. I think that, yeah, if it goes south again, and it's very clearly a case where the defense is breaking at numerous points, then we're going to have a much more different conversation in the same way that, like, look, if the Canucks lose tonight against Chicago, you're going to see them magnifying the thing like we talked about earlier about Podkolzin. I think that that choice gets questioned again even more. And I start to question how good this team actually is if they can't pull it together to put a good effort on the ice against the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and in terms of Quinn Hughes, look, if the Canucks medical staff didn't have the history that it did with injuries and diagnosis and all that stuff, I'd be willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. But it is the Canucks medical staff. They have a history of, you know, maybe rushing guys a bit and, you know, misdiagnosis and all that. So if he doesn't play tonight, I'm starting to get worried. If he doesn't play the rest of the road trip, then yeah, I'm starting to get worried. I think in general for the Canucks team tonight, I want to see first and foremost a bit more effort. I think that lacked in the Buffalo game. Just in general, they look like they played down to the Buffalo Sabres, and that's not the type of team that is a playoff team. You got to be able to at least exert your will, which they did, I think, kind of in the first period. But after once the second period started, it just fell off an absolute cliff. It was not fun to watch at all. I hope Quinn Hughes plays tonight because it looks like they really need him on that defense, right? It can be pretty dodgy without, it looks like, Quinn Hughes, which we've known before the beginning of the season, but it just goes to show, you know, this team is going to need to outscore its problems if Quinn Hughes is out for a significant period of time. You know, knock on wood, cross your fingers, hope he's good to go tonight. But that's what concerns me at the moment.
Yep. I totally agree on that. I will say that I think it's good to see that they're not trying to rush him in too much. Like, I think the fact that he's still on the ice practicing, but very clearly has not played and not like guaranteeing he's going to play at any point is a good sign in the sense of like, where they're not going to put him in unless they know for sure he's good to go. I would be more concerned had he had to fly back to Vancouver to start getting like back home. But again, you hope that they're not, I don't think they're going to rush him back into the lineup, but again, if things get bad, if it's clear that the team can't win without him, then that suddenly that ramps up the pressure on getting him back in on the ice again and trying to fix things. It's a case of where, you know, maybe done a little bit better job looking to try and fix that right side. It wouldn't be such a problem. But at this point, what are you going to do? You've got to play with the cards you've been dealt. And right now the Canucks are in a bit of a tough spot and they're really going to have to show that they can punch above their weight class again, at least as far as the defense.
Well, you can always trade more feature assets for a right shot defenseman.
If
you're all in on the team, you might as well, right?
What future assets do they have left?
I don't know. I'm sure Jim Benning and management can find one to trade away.
They'll start pulling up the floorboards, just their stuff hidden down. Their draft picks just under the floorboards.
Yeah, it'll be like out. In semi-pro, they'll trade for a washing machine. They'll trade the washing machine for a player.
There you go. That's how it's done. Or in Moneyball, they trade a guy for soda for 2 years worth of soda machines refills. That's how it's done. That's how real business is done.
Yeah, that's how they do it in the big leagues, Lachlan. I think in general for Quinn Hughes, I saw a take on Twitter today, Lachlan, that someone was blaming Travis Green for playing him too much, to aggravating this injury. And like, yeah, that's a take. You know what? Like this, first of all, they have to play Quinn Hughes, you know, a ton of minutes. And I don't think it's even an exorbitant amount of minutes, but he is the number one defenseman. He's going to log minutes for this team. And secondly, it's these guys are professional athletes. They're not showing up. You know, like we mentioned, we talked about this when we were talking about the Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes negotiations, right? Like these guys have been training all summer, not showing up to work off their beer gut. I think, you know, you play Quinn Hughes as many minutes as he can handle. And hey, if he had an injury before then maybe it's a bit of a concern. But I'm expecting Quinn Hughes, to be honest, Lachlan, to play either tonight or at the very latest against Seattle.
I will say that I think that looking at his number, like looking at his time on ice, like the first game, 27 minutes, second game, 26 minutes and 46 seconds. So nearly another 27 night game for him. Saturday game against Detroit. So literally the next day, the very next day, played 29 minutes. And I think that is a lot of ice time. I think that is too much ice time. However, the reason that Travis Green has to play him that much is because who else is there? There's no one else that really trustworthy enough to give that.
He's also
much
logging
ice time
a lot
too.
Of minutes on the power play.
Yes,
it's not
for
like
sure.
It's not like hard minutes on the penalty kill. It's, you know, 5-on-5 and
power play. A lot of it is though. Like it's not all like penalty power play and special teams are only going to maybe at most make up for maybe 20% of that ice time, like generally speaking. So a lot of it is still going to be hard minutes against like the best lines and everything. Because again, he's the top pairing defenseman. He's their number one defenseman. He's going to get hard minutes all the time. The problem again is the Canucks don't have anyone to insulate around him. They don't have anyone else that's really capable of taking that kind of a workload and being as successful on it as Quinn Hughes is. So again, it more comes down to the idea of, you know, why has management not done more to develop and find defensemen who can take that workload off of him? Why is Jack Rathbone the best defensive prospect you've pulled out of your farm team in the last how many years you've been in charge of the team? Like you can't win games like that. You can't win games with a guy logging that kind of ice time compared to his line mates, because that means you don't have anyone else around him that's capable of doing so.
Yeah, and to blame Travis Green for playing Quinn Hughes too much is a bit rich for me. Again, he has to play Quinn Hughes the amount of minutes that he has if this team wants to be successful. If there is someone to blame on it, like you mentioned, it's management for not insulating him with enough defensive talent around him. But that has it for today's episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, thank you for making Locked On Canucks your first listen of the day. Now make sure your second listen of the day is Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms. Once again, this is Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Nick Bondi. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick Bondi. You can follow Lachlan at Lock in the Crease and find his writing at Canucks Army Now. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Full video episodes on there for every episode. Thank you for listening.